WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
and in Oklahoma. And not only does the chef and owner, a little takeout place, it's very humble, make fantastic soup from scratch. You know, there's no, like, fake chicken anything in there. But she also makes her own sourdough bread and makes an absolutely killer grilled cheese sandwich. So get yourself to good soup if that's what you want.
Good that soup, would, good that soup would be on 92nd in Oklahoma?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. In your opinion... And I'm kind of a foodie. I'm with you. The only thing that I absolutely will not eat is oatmeal. Everything else is on the is. So what I won't eat is a very short list. So what is one that you would say to me, Carol? And I trust me, I like a joint. I'm not adverse to fine dining, but I just have a problem paying $75 for a steak. So where would you focus me to go? If I just wanted to go and just enjoy a fun kind of a joint, kind of, you know, have a beer and whatever.
You know, there are a lot of them, but actually, if you also would like a steak that's at a joint that's not going to cost you $75, there's this awesome little place in West Dallas called Henry Flock. It's on, let me think, 90th and National. Am I getting that right? 92nd and National. But they bought it from, do you remember the old, like, clock, the Butch's Steakhouse downtown?
Oh, sure.
It previously, yeah, he had a little place there. It's a tavern in West Dallas, you know, the traditional setup, you can tell, old building, old bar on the one side, down, you know, down a step or whatever, or the next room over is the dining room. They bought that, the new owners bought that from Jim, or Butch, and they kept his cast iron pans. He makes a steak in a cast iron pan. And their thing is, we want to be a blue-collar steakhouse. We want to be a place where you don't have to get dressed up to have a steak. You can come as you are. You can relax, have a beer. You don't have to order a fancy wine with your steak, but they do have wine if you want it. And, you know, and just have a nice steak. Their filet is excellent, and it's a fraction of what you would pay at a high-end steakhouse.
Okay. Carol Littola, you know, has been the longtime restaurant critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, retiring after 15 years. I'm sorry, Carol, we have run out of time. It's been a delight, and all good things to you in the future. I hope to see you out at some nice joint one of these nights.
Happy retirement.
Yeah.
Happy
I'll
retirement.
Thanks so much.
You
Thanks
bet.
So much. Take care. Bye.
This is Asgo, Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
The radio show your mother warned you about.
Actual tyranny of a dictator. Dictator's going to dictate Putin. And what did Trump do? Trump kneeled to the man. Embarrassing Republicans. And you're still with the guy? This is your front runner in 2024? Are you even smoking some of Mike Lindell's crack? What are you thinking?
They're the GCCCP. We are the devil's advocates.
Live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Carol Kane, Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bryce. She will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. and I hope you will be as well. Carol, when you and I were talking last night about what we wanted to do today, we started talking about kindness.
Yes, it's a big thing for me this year.
I think that's wonderful. I put it in some perspective.
I don't usually make New Year's resolutions just because I think you're setting yourself up for just colossal failure. You know, and I'm not one of these. I'm going to start eating better. I'm going to start drinking less. I'm going to work out more because I know it's not going to happen. I realize that.
You're a realist like I am.
Yeah. Yes. But I did say to Lou, who's my husband, I said, you know, I'm pledging in this next new year, in 2023, I'm going to try and be a better person. I don't think I'm a schlep right now.
You're not a bad person.
No, I'm not a bad person, but there's always room for improvement as far as I can see. And I've had a couple of instances where I was like, it took everything, every fiber of my being, not to confront and not to say something. And it happened at my local grocery store where I had a guy that actually, do you ever see the movie Christmas with the Cranks?
Yes.
Okay. You know that grocery store scene where they're running for the ham? Jamie Lee Curtis and this other woman are going neck and neck. This guy was doing this to me and I was just trying to get to the checkout.
And he's racing you to the
checkout.
And
he's racing me to the checkout. He was going to get there first no matter what. And I was just like, what's happening here? This is so ridiculous. And so I pulled into the area next to him and there I turned and looked and here's a guy standing there with two cartons of lactate milk. And I said, is that all you have? And he said, yeah. I said, then please go ahead.
Yeah. Because you had a full cart.
I had a full cart. And he's like, are you sure? And seriously, it was something, another light bulb went off. This just happened. So it was like, okay, you really got to be better, a better person, Carol, because you would have thought that this guy, I had saved his child from a burning building or something. He said at least six times, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And I said to him, I said, you know, if we don't start being kinder to one another as a whole, nothing is ever going to get any better.
You're absolutely right.
Nothing. And it's so, Jane, I met this lovely woman. I've got goosebumps just thinking about it because I just think I feel so strongly about this that I met a woman the other day and she was out walking her dog. And I just stopped and said, hello, good morning. And she introduced herself as Amy and her dog Stone. And we stood there and we talked and talked and talked and talked. My girlfriend Mary was also there. And I walked away and she was like, gosh, it was nice to meet you guys.
Aww.
And I walked away and I said, you know, isn't it nice that that's a good memory for her today? She'll go home and go, you know, I met some nice people. And it's not, that's the thing that I think is so interesting, that we are not curing cancer by doing this. But we are making people smile. And if you can put a smile on somebody's face, isn't that worth the price of admission? Don't you feel better?
Absolutely. And I'm a big holding the door open for anybody.
Me too.
I just like that, and it makes me feel better, and I don't care if I see you coming from halfway across the parking lot. I'll wait for you. I do it for our UPS guy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really little courtesy.
It's nothing.
It's a nothing.
Yeah.
But yet it makes a difference. On the flip side, however, I am also the same person who, if I hold the door open for someone, especially if it's a younger person, and they don't say thank you.
Oh, do you say you're welcome?
Of course.
Okay.
Because I'm that person.
Well, but I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. I mean, because there's a way that you can make people learn that they have to say thank you. And this guy with the milk, it was just so, I was so taken aback. And I've done this because I'm tall. And like, I've been in the grocery store and like you see some woman struggling or some guy struggling,
yes,
as they're trying to reach something on the top. And I will inevitably always go, hey, can I get that for you? Because for me, it's nothing. It's so easy to do. And sometimes I run into opposition, but most times I don't. I had one woman that said, I can do this. And I said, okay. And she's like climbing the shelves. I'm like, but don't you realize your personal safety's at stake here?
You don't have to scale Mount Everest. I can reach it for
you.
No,
I just think that every day I have two goals for this year. One, every day I want to learn something new every day. And my day today was with Carol. She just told me about that great restaurant. So I learned something and I'm going to go and check that place out. And two, do something nice for someone, even if it's as little as saying good morning, good afternoon, hello.
Nice outfit, nice shoes.
Anything. Anything.
Yeah. Small, tiny compliment. Just looking somebody in the eyes and smiling, like you said, and saying good morning. It's these incremental steps.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, sooner or later, you've laid the foundation and now it's just one brick on top of another brick on top of another brick. And if they've had a good day, if you've helped them have a good day, then the likelihood of them doing something nice for somebody else is probably pretty strong, I would hope.
I think you're onto something there.
I hope so.
I think she's onto something there.
I'm going to try and be a better person every single day of this year. I'll get back to you on the 31st of December.
We'll do a count. We'll do a recount at that time. All right, we have the bottom of the hour news coming up. When we come back, the five greatest rock and roll bands of all time. Let us know who you would select at 844-967-2789. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
ABC News Now, I'm Mark Remillard. Tuesday marked the first hearing of a new special House Committee on China. Both parties and witnesses agreeing on Chinese threats to the U.S.
American Manufacturing Alliance President Scott Paul telling the House China Committee just how much damage he thinks the Chinese Communist Party's done to the U.S.
Stealing intellectual property, cyber hacking, piracy. The cost? Tens of thousands of factory closures in America. $600 billion in IP losses alone.
Congress debating how to counter those Chinese threats. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
A rebuke of Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who was denied a second term in office on Tuesday. She came in third in a field of nine candidates, ending her bid, as a runoff election will be held in April for the top two candidates, Paul Vallis, a former schools CEO, and Brandon Johnson, a Cook County commissioner. At least 29 people dead after a passenger train collided with a freight train in Greece. This is ABC News.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
Correct.
Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere and Carol Kane in for Kristen Rice. She will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. You found this article.
I did, and I thought it was fascinating because maybe it's just because I've been so close to classic rock and rock for so long in my FM career. I wasn't just involved in the business. I've been a fan. Like, I remember buying, I was kind of a nerdy kid, and so when I finally crossed over, I was kind of a nerdy kid. So when I crossed over, one of the first albums that I ever bought was Aerosmith's Toys in the Attic.
That's so interesting. That was one of mine first, too.
Yeah. And I defy you to find a track anywhere on that that isn't really quality stuff. But this radio station did this contest about trying to figure out who the greatest rock bands were. And I seriously, it's the top five. So there's probably a top 10 and there's probably a top 50 you know, whatever. But this is the top five. And I know you've got some issues with some of I do not. I'm OK.
All right.
I'm OK.
With all of the top five.
Right. I mean, I have a personal affinity for Aerosmith because I've seen them so many times and I love them. But are they like a top five for me? No. I think that the criteria for the top five is how influential they might have been.
Okay.
And so number five was Pink Floyd. And I don't have any problem with that because of the fact of they were the kings of psychedelic rock. They, I mean, when you've got symphonies around the world that are going and doing the music to Dark Side of the Moon, that's crossing over into a whole nother category.
Definitely.
You know? There you go.
It's and everyone knows this track. You can't, right? It's just instantaneously recognizable.
That's, and I think that goes with these top five is that you know who that is for sure. So Pink Floyd came in at number five. They had huge performances, laser light shows. their shows were, and talk about diehard fans. Floyd fans are diehard Floyd fans. And I who did I say this to the other day? And I don't know why I said it, but I just said it. And he said that he found his Dark Side of the Moon album. When I opened it, I said, "What did you open it up and seeds fall out?"
Oh, yes. And sticks.
And he's like, this guy looks at me and goes, "No." And I go, "You're lying to me. You're lying to me." So then number four is Zeppelin. And when you've got that, the Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones, and John Bonham, that, I mean, you know it's Robert Plant when Zeppelin comes on.
Oh, yeah.
And they had, so I don't have a problem with this either, because they were in the 80s. Oh, no, what am I talking about? Like late 60s into the 70s, they were like the number one. They sold like 50 million albums. I mean, huge, huge. And Robert Plant, you know, he's been able to morph himself with Allison.
It's really interesting. Allison Krauss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just think that they, and that was another one that if people got their teeth into Led Zeppelin, they just never let go. Now, you started with Queen. Now, Queen were, I don't have a problem with this either. What's interesting is the British is kind of leading
the pack here.
Yeah, they're kind of taking over. But Queen, with their stadium shows, just so huge, and their rock ballads. And part of the story with Queen, too, was the fact that they couldn't get anybody to play those rock ballads because they were too long.
Right.
And when they finally did, it was just enormous and became just iconic. And that Wembley Stadium that was Freddie Mercury's last,
right,
is probably, to me, one of his best performances ever, ever.
You know, I was lucky enough when I was about 17, I was either a junior or senior in high school, and we saw Queen and Kiss at the old arena.
Oh, rock on.
Oh, yeah. At the old arena. So think about the crowd size at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
And the old arena was, what, 2,000 people?
Yeah, it was small.
So you could practically touch them.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
And at the time, of course, you don't realize how momentous this is. But looking back at it, it's like, well, that was kind of cool.
I didn't see Queen. It was very interesting. My daughter, Liz, is a rocker. And so Queen came, but Paul Rogers was fronting the band at that particular time. And we were down at the Bradley Center. I love Paul Rogers. I do. I love Paul Rogers. But what they did that made it so cool was they had a hologram of Freddie Mercury.
Oh, wow.
This huge, from floor to ceiling, hologram of Freddie Mercury singing the song. But Paul Rogers was actually, like, on the stage. It was very, very cool and very, very interesting. So I can't argue with Queen either.
No, I agree.
And then, you know, people are going to have a problem with this one, I'm sure. But I've seen the Rolling Stones probably 6 or 7 times. And I remember seeing the Rolling Stones at Alpine Valley. And I'm not sure what tour it was, but it was a number of years ago. And as they stepped, because they were just so iconic, too. You've
sure.
got the two front men that everybody knows.
Yep.
And so we got closer to the stage. We were in that, and it started to rain. So you know what a mess Alpine can
is.
Be.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, they came out on the stage, and these two huge inflatable women came up on the side. Yeah. I don't know. Don't ask me why.
It was the 70s. Yeah. Or was it the 80s?
Late 70s. So very, very interesting, very, very cool. Once again, you hear them, you know it's the Rolling Stones. Absolutely.
However, I'm just going to interject one quick thing here. As I was setting up for the sound clips I wanted to pull for this, I didn't realize their first hit, the Rolling Stones' first hit, was in 1963.
Oh, when they were clean cut?
And it's called Come On, Take a Listen, and let me know if you still think that it sounds like the Rolling Stones that you know today.
Okay.
Everything is wrong with me and my baby body. All day long,
wow.
Couldn't get my car started later from a job.
It's kind of goofy.
it's very Beatles-esque.
Yeah.
You know, and very Herman, almost Herman Hermits.
Yeah.
Herman's Hermits kind of poppy, happy, vibey thing.
Well, and you know, yes, and that's kind of, that, you know, they were just starting to kind of like, they were the fledgling band and they were just starting to find their identity, and it wasn't until they got into that kind of like gritty, sexy kind
Exactly.
That's how they got to the level that they did. And then interesting, you should bring up the Beatles, because the Beatles came in number one. And the
I don't even think that's up for discussion.
No, I don't think so either. I because the Beatles were so influential overall to so many different artists. And you can sit there and you can name every there without a beat. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, Ringo Starr, you know, even Pete Best. You can go back to Pete Best. But and I've seen, I never saw the Beatles, but I did see Paul McCartney. And somebody had asked me, I thought it was an interesting question. You take everything off the table. You have one band. You're on a deserted island. It's this deserted island thing. One band, and you can only listen to their recordings or their spinoffs, if you will.
All right. Or covers.
Like, well, no. But so I said the Beatles. And I said the Beatles only because the Beatles, when they started, were not the Beatles that ended. They morphed their music through their entire career. And then you had all the solo acts. You had McCartney. You've got Ringo. You've got Harrison. You've got
McCartney.
They all had their own. So all that gets lumped in. And I would dare say you would be hard-pressed to find better songwriters than Paul McCartney and John Lennon.
By far. And as you said, too, the Beatles also started out with that Herman's Hermits kind of,
sure,
you know, girl, boy, let's go dating, the happy poppy thing.
I saw her standing there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And developed over time as their tastes changed and they, grew a little bit older. And yeah, they were just remarkably, remarkably influential.
Right. I mean,
And Ringo's still with us. And so is Paul.
Yeah, so is Paul. And Paul, I think, somebody may correct me, but I think he's touring this summer. I think he's going out. He's isolated where he's going, you know,
sure.
So he's not going to be traveling so much. But Ringo and his All-Stars, have you ever seen them?
I bet they're great.
Oh, they're fantastic.
I bet.
And I was a huge George Harrison fan, And not to get morbid, but my daughter and I were in New York, and we went to the Strawberry Fields, and we went to the Dakota, and this guard came out. They're very protective of the area where this all happened.
I bet.
Where he was killed. And this guard came out, and he said, "Hey, ladies," and we were like, "Hi," and he said, "You want to know where it happened?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I was working when it happened." And it was so fascinating to sit and talk to this guy. And he said, he said, "I can't let you in," but he said, "Right up there." And he pointed, he goes, that's where it happened.
Oh.
And it was just so interesting. And then we went over to Strawberry Fields, and it's packed all the time. People are all sitting around the seal that says Strawberry Fields, and they're playing their guitars and they're singing.
Oh, that's great.
It's really, and in that sense, it was death, as tragic as it was, very unifying to their fans, you know? So that's it. So you've got Beatles number one, then you've got the Rolling Stones, then you've got Queen, then you've got Zeppelin, and then you've got Pink Floyd rounding out the top five, according to this radio station.
We have been taking other suggestions on our, you can either call, you can always text at 844-967-2789. Some other suggestions for the greatest rock bands of all times. Pearl Jam? Is that Eddie Vedder?
Yeah. I mean, I would even, you know, if you're going to go in that genre with Pearl Jam, I think what you have, this is all time. Those still are kind of, they're not new, but.
Niche?
Yeah.
A little more niche?
Right. Alt-rock. Definitely alt-rock. And you've got Nirvana. That's also in there. Very, very influential.
What about someone else suggested from the 715? The Crew, Motley Crue.
I love Motley Crue too, but you've also got to put other band. Couple of those are like, that's the Bon Jovi, big,
the hair,
huge,
the hair boys,
right?
The hair bands,
yeah, the big hair bands. That's not like the greatest bands of all time, but if you have your own category of like the greatest hair bands, they'd be right in there. They would be in there. I watched, actually, it's interesting. I watched on Netflix Tommy and Pam.
Oh.
I did. I devoted some time to that.
That you can never, ever get back.
Well, I was just curious. But I did watch. I said to my husband, I go, okay, you got to see this scene. And I pulled it up on my iPad. I played it for him when the drum kit off the floor and then went above and upside down. And I was just like, that's why the Crew is so big. Because they did outrageous things like
that. And they
that.
Just didn't care.
No. Uh-uh. No. I sometimes think that, you know, like the Beatles were a little softer and they were kind of, you know, the humanitarians of the Crew. But I think sometimes a great rock and roll band like the Rolling Stones, they just don't give a crap. You know? It just, that's what makes them so interesting and iconic, is that they just don't care.
And the number of hotel furniture they had to replace over the years, after years and years and years of touring.
Oh, yeah.
Talking rock fans, Jane Matinier, Carol Kane in for Kristen Bry. One more break, and we will be back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin.
My tears are falling like rain from the sky. Is it for her or myself that I cry? I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
As Goes Wisconsin, Carol Kane, Jane Matinier, in for Kristen Bry. She will be back tomorrow at noon. Last segment, we were talking about the best rock bands of all time. Still have a couple texts coming in at 844-967-2789. 262 says, you forgot about the Kinks.
Well, no, the Kinks are great, but I, and they have a strong fan base, but they're not, I don't think, as widely accepted as like the Beatles or the Rolling Stones.
As far as being influential?
Yeah. And they certainly weren't as commercial. If
no, that's for sure. And another one, another texter from the 920, The Who, Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey, yeah. John Entwistle, and Keith Moon. And you're right again. Look, they're all Brits.
Every single one of them.
They're all Brits.
I know. What a way. I don't even know what we're coming up with. We're falling way behind. Way behind. Good Lord.
Now, before we wrap things up here today, we're just going to kick around a little Oscar conversation.
Yeah, because the Oscars come up on, they happen on March 12th.
And, right.
You know, love them or hate them or whatever, I just think it's kind of, I don't know. I pulled up this article that says, why your favorite movie will not win Best Picture at the Oscars. And it always is that, and you know that, what is that one? Everything, Everywhere, All at Once?
You got it.
What the hell was that? I seriously, Jane, I have to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think I'm smart enough for some of these movies. I really don't. And I don't think I'm stupid. I just don't, I didn't get it. I did not get it. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. And I was with it about the first third of the way. I could follow. I was following along okay.
Okay.
And then I felt things started happening so quickly. I had no idea what was going on. And then there came a point where I thought, okay, they're going to wrap it up now. And that will make sense to me. And then it went on to have another entire extra third of the film. And then by that point, I was completely lost.
Yeah.
And you know, we had Matt Miller on a couple of weeks or last week. And I feel the same way as you do. Either it's my age or I'm just not esoteric enough to understand the message.
See, I always preface with this because I was an English literature major. So I could read anything, any symbolism. I could do all that stuff. And I was just completely gone. I didn't get it. And I don't understand why it's up for so many awards. Now, I saw Maverick. Okay. I wasn't like, you know, people were blown away by it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I mean, the special effects, I assume, were one of the big draws for that.
Well, the dog fights in the air and things like that. And it, you know, brought about that sense of patriotism and things like that. And okay, fine. I got it. I did see Elvis. I think that kid he absolutely was Elvis Presley. He was great. I did see The Banshees.
The Banshees of Inisherin?
I hated that movie.
I was so upset by that film. I was so upset by that film.
With the donkey?
Yeah.
Shh. I'm not going to say
anymore.
Don't
spoil it.
No, I'm just going to say he had a miniature donkey
Jenny.
In this.
Jenny the donkey.
Yes. But that was another one. At the end, for me, there was no... I'm very traditional. I want a beginning, a middle, and an end. I don't think that's asking too much from my movies. And at the end of Banshees, I was like, I just spent 2 hours of my life trying to figure out why these two were where they were. And then at the end, they're just like, ah, well.
And on we go. Okay.
What? Now, so I haven't seen Tar. I haven't seen Avatar. But I hear Tar is excellent.
Yes, I have too.
The German composer.
Right.
I heard that's unbelievable. And some of the other ones I'm kind of losing as to, there's 10 of them.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, I hear that's wonderful, but it's brutal.
I did watch it, and I...
There you go. That's all you need to say.
I mean, it is beautifully shot. So is Banshees. The cinematography on Banshees is really spectacular.
No doubt.
And the scenery in that area of Ireland where they filmed it is just gorgeous. But All Quiet on the Western Front is really well done. It's also really difficult to watch because the story is just so painful. And the brutality.
That's what I hear.
It's just really, it's hard to watch fellow humans behave in this way.
And, okay, I'm just going to say this too, that I, once again, I'm very simple. I mean, I could follow Maverick, and I'm sure I could follow Avatar, which I hear cinematography in Avatar is just spectacular.
I'm sure.
Just spectacular. But I'm not a big Avatar fan, and that's not a very...
Doesn't call you.
No,
doesn't speak
no,
to you.
No. But now, conversely, Carol's kind of movie, I saw 80 for Brady.
and that is with...
That's with Sally Field, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Rita Moreno. And Tom Brady's in it, too.
Oh, now, he is.
Yeah, Tom Brady's in it, too. Say what you will about Tom Brady. He produced it, whatever. It's pretty self-serving. But it was an hour and a half of delicious popcorn and not having to think. I just wanted to go and be entertained. If I pop a vein in my head because I have to think so hard about these things, I'm not going to enjoy the darn thing. I'm just not.
Well, and I think it all depends upon how you approach films too, right? If you are going to a film to learn something, you know, to be educated, you're going to select different things. If you want a popcorn movie, and that's what I tend to look for too, I'm always looking for the latest Pixar movie that makes me laugh.
Yeah, me too. I love Pixar.
To just have a place to escape a little bit.
Yeah.
So maybe we're just not the Oscar kind of crowd, Carol, that they're shooting for.
Well, they say that the voters of Oscar are looking for risk takers. That's what they're looking for. They don't want just, you know, box office biggies. They want people that take a risk. And that's why the Everything Everywhere All at Once is leading the pack.
And it's probably going to win.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. And she'll probably win. The lead will probably win Best Actress, unless Tar. Who's in?
Kate Blanchett.
Yeah. She's pretty strong in that, too, in that category. So we'll see. I don't know. I'll watch them.
I will, too.
Because I like the red carpet. I like pretty things. I it's so ridiculous of me, but I like to look at the purses and the shoes and the jewelry and what the heck she wearing, you know?
See, and I always go, you have that body and that much money and that's what you picked?
Yeah, that happens too. That happens too.
Carol Kane and Jane Mantenier, thank you so much for spending time with us this afternoon. Kristen Bry, we'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Dueling Tangents. Coming up next, stay right here as goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
I'm 54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah, at aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media.